Good morning. You're probably saying, what the heck is he doing now? Okay, last week it's a football helmet, this week it's a Bic lighter. You know, what's pretty amazing when you think about this right here is just the fact that we can have fire just in the palm of our hands, and it's contained in this little device right here. And it hasn't always been that way, but fire is something that we encounter every day of our lives, and many of us don't even realize it. Hey, I hope you had a good week, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about that whole idea, that whole understanding of what fire is. You know, when you look at a definition of fire, okay, it's kind of hard to put a definition to it, you know, what it actually is. But here's what it is. If you look it up or Google it or look in a dictionary, it says that fire is the rapid oxidation of a material, okay, in the exothermic process of combustion. The exothermic process of combustion. And what it does is it releases heat, light, and various reaction of products. Fire, is greatly influenced by externals. Oxygen is one of the main ways that fire is influenced. Another influence of fire would be the substance that it's actually consuming. The intensity of the heat, the levels of brightness, all of those things can change. Even the color of the fire can change dependent upon what it's consuming. It's a pretty amazing commodity. You know, what that reminds me of, many of you probably saw the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks, and that's where that FedEx plane crashed, and he was the lone survivor, washed up on a remote island. And one of the things that, I mean, literally, you're sitting there watching this man, you know, where we can sit here and just flick the Bic and we have it, but this man just goes through, I mean, his hands are literally bleeding. He's trying so hard to get fire, and eventually he does, and it's this huge celebration, you know, oh, I make fire. He does all that around the fire, and it's kind of a really incredible thing, but it's something that you and I, we take for granted, but and we encounter this almost every day. You really think about it. Fire is used in so many things that we experience every day. This is the time of year that it's getting a little bit cooler, right? And I hope all of you have checked your furnaces. Make sure you do. Don't wait till the mercury drops to realize that it's not working, and then you got to have that emergency call out. And of course, it's on a weekend or at night when, you know, it's just going to cost double. But man, just take a quick look at it, turn it on, make sure it's working. Just a piece of advice, because I've been there. But for heating, you know, it provides warmth to us. Even in driving a car, you know, there's internal combustion. That is a process that involves fire. For cooking, many of you probably have gas stovetops or gas oven. Or maybe you're a cowboy and you still like cooking on the open fire, you know. I don't know. That's probably a ridiculous thought, but there may be somebody that still does that. And I know we do when we have campouts and wiener roasts and all those types of things. And it's a lot of fun. You can have good memories and whatnot around a fire. I love, you know, hanging out around the fire. It's a nice thing. It provides light, you know. We have a small Amish community that's not too far from us here. And I take some students home often on Wednesday nights, and there's a certain corner I come around, and really, like, two out of the last three nights, there's a little Amish buggy coming around. It's dark out. But one of the things that they have that allows you to see them, because they're all in black, is they have these little lanterns, you know, and there's a flame and there's a fire that you can see. It's a propane type of thing, but the reality is it's fire, okay? And it illuminates and allows you to see. Outdoors, you know, the campfire, obviously we mentioned that, but it's essential. You know, every industry uses it, everything from manufacturing to science. Remember when, you know, when we were in chemistry class in like high school and stuff like that, you had those Bunsen burners and you got to do all these cool experiments with them and stuff like that. It was just an awesome thing. But all of life is affected by this incredible commodity, fire. And as with anything, fire can be used in very positive ways. It can also be be used in very destructive ways, like through arsonists and stuff like that. In beneficial ways, normally fire has some boundaries around it. When it's destructive, it's just running wild and running loose. And one of the things that all the firefighters do when they're fighting these forest fires is they cut trenches, they cut boundaries around the fire to cut it off so that those boundaries then keep it from just going and destroying more and more land. It can be mismanaged or it can be managed well. And, you know, in our lives, now let's just transition this for a minute, because, you know, I didn't want to just talk about how it is in culture, but we need to realize that it's a part of our lives every day. But even as a believer or follower of Christ, if you say that you're a Christian, you're saying you're a follower of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, we can read this in God's Word over and over and over, and it's referenced so many times. In fact, it's referenced 549 times in God's Word. Over 506 different verses include the fire in it. So we can see many ways that fire is used everywhere. It's used to describe all kinds of different things. Fire is used to describe many different attributes as the Lord as well. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush, it's described as a blazing fire. We know that God was in the midst of her. We see in the scriptures, God is referred to as the refining fire, okay? A holy fire, an all-consuming fire, an unquenchable fire. These are all, if you've been around church, or maybe you've heard an online blog or teaching or Bible study or something, chances are you've heard some of these terms in the scriptures. And we've even incorporated this language into, you know, culture, and both in the secular world and the church world. Sports, you know, that's a great one. You know, you look at it and you see when somebody is drilling three-pointers on the basketball court, what do they say? Man, he's on fire! You know, there's times where somebody might be, you know, a St. Louis Cardinal pitcher is like striking out every Chicago Cub that comes up to the plate. He's on fire! You know, shout out to my St. Louis Cardinal friends, but I'm just teasing. Anyway, the reality is this, it's in culture, but it's also in our church culture, and we say things and it becomes a part of us. We might say, you know, we see somebody that has their heart transformed by the love of Jesus, and they're excited and they're vibrant and they're just sharing their faith, and there's, you know, we say things like, man, they're on fire for God, or sometimes maybe we're not burning so brightly, and we're just saying, God, I want to burn bright for you again, send the fire upon my life. You know, that's kind of those cries, those deep cries that we pray for. Or don't let the fire go out. Or Lord, we need the fire to fall. You know, we say these things corporately as a church. John Wesley, one of the great hymn writers, he wrote this hymn called Send the Fire. Send the Fire, I believe it was John Wesley. But the reality is this, man, fire has been all part of it. And fire is a part of God. He is described in so many different ways. Fire is symbolic of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. You know, there's many, many different ways. Well, the Holy Spirit just kind of directed me, impressed upon, when I say that, I'm just saying he impressed upon my heart some things about this area of fire. I don't want to talk to him. One I want to talk about today is the fire of God's guidance and his impartation. Okay? The fire of guidance and the fire of impartation. Now in Exodus chapter 3, I'm not going to go ahead and read that this morning, but I encourage you to, because it's the account of Moses. Okay? Now Moses was born a Levite, and what that means is the Levites, or the lineage of the Levites, they were the ones that conducted the priestly duties unto the Lord. Now Moses, just by his birth nature, just by the lineage he came from, he kind of had a destiny in front of him. He didn't realize it, and he had a little bit of a delay until that all happened. But one of the things, he was born into that, and for the first 3 months of his life, man, he was tucked away and hidden, because there was some real serious persecution that was coming to the Hebrews, and they were actually killing some of the children, and he could have been executed very easily, but he was tucked away and God preserved him. And after 3 months, he was placed in a basket and he was hidden amongst the reeds along the Nile River. And then when Pharaoh's daughter came up, she found him, And she had compassion. She took him in, and she made sure that he was nurtured and raised. And God, and he was raised up in the palace, if you will. He was a Hebrew, but he was raised in that palace as basically one of Pharaoh's own. And what ended up happening with him is, as he grew up, he saw the oppression of the Hebrew people. Well, one day he was out, and he was witnessing an Egyptian that was absolutely abusing a Hebrew. And he looked to the left and to the right, as the scriptures describe it, and he actually killed this Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now, he thought he probably had gotten away with it, but the next day he went out and he started engaging some of the Hebrew people. And as he engaged them, he realized very quickly that this was something that didn't go unnoticed. And in fact, it was known, and they were bringing it to his attention. And when they did, he was frightened, he was afraid, because Pharaoh then was going to seek his life. But he got out of Dodge, and he went to a place called Midian. And while he was in Midian, you know, there was some really cool things that happened. Number one, he met Zipporah, he met his wife, and he had some kids, and you know, and he was in a new chapter of his life. And maybe he thought that the former life was just going to completely go away, but see, God had a real destiny for him, and it wasn't just herding sheep, it wasn't just you know hanging out around the mountain of the Lord. But one day he was on the backside of the mountain of the Lord, and he approached. And the cool thing that happened was that the fire of God's guidance and impartation was coming to him, and he didn't even realize it. The scripture, in one of the versions, it describes as that fire being a blazing fire, okay? We know this, that God was in the midst of her, because this wasn't just your typical fire. This was a fire where this bush was absolutely encapsulated with fire, but it was not being consumed. That caught Moses' attention. And as that caught his attention, he went over there, and the Lord began to impart, you know, and bring guidance to Moses' life. In fact, the first thing he did is he said, "Moses, you need to stop where you're at. You need to remove your sandals, because the place where you're walking is holy ground." And when God said that to him, Moses fell. He postured himself before the Lord to receive the guidance and the impartation from the Lord. And God began to impart to him and really just speak forth his true destiny and speak forth the guidance that he was to have. And, you know, even when Moses was trying to come up with excuses and God, you know, and all of this, God supplied the answers for everything. See, that's the fire of God's impartation and guidance. And he didn't just leave it there, because even after God was doing this, he expressed the purpose for Moses. He expressed the fact that he had heard the cry of the Israelites and his people, and his destiny was to deliver them. So he, even after he reawakened this whole destiny and purpose for Moses' life, and Moses went, and you can read the story. There was a great deliverance that took place. There's the Red Sea parting. There's all of those things, and how God even held Pharaoh's armies back, and the chariots and all that stuff. It's absolutely amazing. But once they got on the other side of the Red Sea, it didn't stop them, because there was still another burning bush that God erected, if you will. And that's the burning bush that you see in Exodus 13:21. And that's where it was a pillar by day, pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. See, God is never going to quit imparting and giving deliverance to us. Now listen, I realize that most you and I have never experienced a burning bush, literally, that wasn't being consumed. I have a lilac bush in my backyard. I take Max out some mornings, and I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, and Max is doing his thing, and we're just enjoying the morning, and I've never looked over and seen that lilac bush just erupting in flames, and I've never heard that, you know, God tell me to come over and not come any closer and all that. But I do know this, God is still placing burning bushes in our path. And sometimes we don't even realize it. You know, that's what I was saying. Even after Israel had come through all the deliverance, you know, it was a different type of burning bush, if you will. It was that pillar of fire by night that illuminated the darkness. It was that pillar of cloud by day that showed them direction. God was bringing that fire of his guidance and impartation, and he was continually bringing it and continually bringing it. You know, we read this and we see this, and sometimes we think, well, that was back for them, but what do we do now? Again, in God's incredible fire, providing much needed guidance in a time of wandering, in a time, and God was with them the entire way. See, I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. I can't live without that in my life. And the primary place that you and I get that is in God's Word. See, this, if you really think about it, friends, is our burning bush today, okay? This is the primary way that God is going to speak to you and me and to our hearts as believers. And that's why it's so important that we reverence His Word. And, you know, we don't worship the written Word. We worship the God of the written Word. But this is His Word. It's alive. And it speaks to us. And it brings us direction and guidance. This is the fire of His guidance. This is the fire of His impartation to you and to me in this day and in this hour. And I need that power in my life. See, when I can't see, right now you're looking at me and you see that I'm wearing my glasses today. I don't wear them all the time. A lot of times I wear contacts. But when I take these off, it's really blurry and I can't see many things. I can see, you know, broad shapes and do all that, but I can't see, you know, the detail of things that I need to see. But it's like that fire of God's impartation. It's the fire of His guidance. It's like putting these glasses on and all of a sudden everything becomes crystal clear and I can see again. It's an important thing for you and I to realize that though we don't have that burning bush like Moses do, we do have a burning bush. We do have the fire of His guidance and the fire of His impartation right here in His holy word. And when I cannot see, that's when God will provide much needed guidance, comfort, and ability that is beyond myself. And that's where His supernatural activity invades my life. Isn't that awesome? I think that's just powerful. But see, when I do it on my own and I stumble and fall, it's just like walking around without me having glasses on, okay? I can't see and I'm going to stumble. If I try to get up to the plate and hit a baseball or swing a golf club, which I haven't been able to do this year yet, but I'd love to. But when I do, I'd never hit the ball straight. But when I have my corrected vision on, okay, my guidance, my impartation from God, all right, then I can see clearly, okay? I hope you understand that. See, when I cry out to God, He always answers. He's not going to just leave me out there hanging. And in a sense, just think of it this way. God is still placing those burning bushes in our lives. We might think that a season of our life has ended and we've moved on to the next one, and we have, but God wants to draw upon our life experiences. He wants to draw upon the things, and He may call you into an area of life that you might think, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Well, get at the feet of His burning bush, okay? Get God's guidance, get His wisdom, and you know, He's going to primarily speak through His Word, but He's also going to speak through His presence. He's going to speak through other people into your life. It could come in a form of just an encouraging word. It could come in the form of a prophetic utterance. And again, use caution with that. Prophetic utterances normally will always confirm something that God is already impressing upon your heart, okay? Circumstances in your life can change. Circumstances and culture can change, and God can use those things to speak to you. For crying out loud, I've been watching movies sometimes, and all of a sudden I feel the Holy Spirit speak something to me. I'll give you a case in point, and this is kind of ridiculous, but the Peter Parker in the Spider-Man, there's a line in that movie, I remember it to this day, but it says, with great power comes great responsibility. So you can cry out for God's power, but you also need to cry out for the responsibility and the character to carry that power. See, that's ways that God can even take something that was right in that movie and speak to me. And He did that years ago. And I'm sure somebody has preached a message or something on that somewhere along the line. So just don't ever count it out, man. Take it to God's Word, okay? Take it to the fire of His impartation and guidance for your life. Your circumstances. Sometimes God will use random supernatural things. You know, He's still a supernatural God. Let's not discount His ability to speak to us that. But if you are confused and having difficulty navigating the waters of life, if you need encouragement, man, get into His Word. Get into His presence and find that burning bush in your life. It's so important to allow that impartation and guidance to come to you. His word is a what? It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The fire of impartation, it will never, ever, ever go out. And it's not going to go out because God's not going to